Okay, so I'm going to move to Acts chapter 14. Acts chapter 14. Paul has been sent out by the Holy Spirit, him and Barnabas. They've gone to the Gentiles preaching the word of God, or to the Gentile nations, to the Jews first and then to the Gentiles. The gospel came. And as Paul's custom was, he would go into a new city of the Roman Empire, wherever he was. He would go into the Jewish synagogue and begin to preach and teach Jesus Christ, that he had to suffer and rise again from the dead. And in Acts chapter 14, he comes to a city called Lystra. And as Paul was, in verse 8, as Paul was preaching, he saw a man who was crippled from his mother's womb, who had never walked. And Paul said to him, perceiving him that he had had faith to be healed, said in a loud voice, "Stand up on your feet." And he leapt up and walked. And the scripture says in verse 11, when the people saw what Paul had done, they raised their voices, saying in the Lyconian language, "The gods have come down to us in the likeness of men," because Paul had happened upon great idol worshipers who did not know God. Of course, the gospel is now just being preached. And so they deem Paul, because of this miracle that he performed, they thought he was a god. And in the next verse, verse 13, it says, the priest of Zeus, whose temple was in front of their city, brought oxen and garlands to the gates, intending to sacrifice with the multitudes. And so these idol worshipers, who had no knowledge of God, the specific revelation of God through the gospel, were about to do sacrifice to Paul and Barnabas because they deemed them as gods. And but the scripture says, when the apostles Barnabas and Paul heard this, they tore their clothes and ran in among the multitudes, crying out, saying, "Men, why are you doing these things? God help us that when people sometimes think we more than we ought to, that we would humble ourselves and run in amongst them and say, 'Please, I'm not as great as you think I am. Please don't do that.'" Amen. God help us. Amen. So they said, "We are also men with the same nature as you, and preach to you that you should turn from these useless things to the living God." Turn from the useless things, speaking of the idols that people were worshiping in that day. And I know we like to think that they were great idol worshipers in that day, but we don't worship idols today. Let me say it again. We have our own set of idols, don't we?
Mm-hmm. We do.
The nations of the earth do. Turn from these useless things to the living God, who made the heaven, the earth, the sea, and all things that are in them. So he points them to God. It's his first sermon to those, to the idol worshiping people. We see him, and what's so unique about this whole sermon, number one, is cut off. He doesn't even get to mention Jesus Christ. He doesn't even get to mention Christ. He says, who in bygone generations allowed all nations to walk in their own ways. So he's telling them about not an idol, but about the God who created the heavens, the earth, and the sea, and everything that is in them. So he's about to preach Christ to them, but he starts from from what they can actually realize, from what they can bear witness to. And they can see the heaven, they can see this, the earth and the sea. They partake of all these things. And he says to them that God allowed these nations to walk according to the imagination of their own heart, according to their own ways. But verse 17 is our text, and he says this: "Nevertheless, he, the God of heaven and earth, he did not leave himself without witness." Amen. And I love this passage of scripture right here, because God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And when God allowed nations, when the specific revelation of who Jesus coming to the earth, before that happened, God allowed nations to walk according to their own ways. Yet he did not leave himself without witness. You see, Lord Jesus, I thank you. We also realize that God made from his appointment in making Adam and Eve in their own image, He gave them a conscience. He made each and every one of them with a conscience. And that conscience bore witness to the good or the evil that they were doing. So in that way, God did not leave himself without witness. Mm-hmm. But in this particular passage of scripture, Paul says he did not leave himself without witness, and God never leaves himself without witness. Amen. Indeed, all of creation witnesses Psalm 19 and 1. The heavens declare the glory of God. The firmament shows forth his handiwork. So every day that this earth has been here, every day we wake up, the sun rising up, the rain falling, the clouds filling are all witness to the fact that God has created them all. He has not left himself without witness then or now, right? But he goes on to describe or to detail how God did not leave himself without witness. And he said this, in that he, God, did good. In that he did good. So all the while the nations existed before Christ came and died upon the cross, Paul says, God did good. God did good. And I've just been meditating on this, can't get away from meditating on the goodness of God. Of course, for us as believers in Jesus Christ, we are well acquainted with the goodness of God. I'll say, like I said, I believe it was last week or a few weeks ago, before I was even born again, and for most of you, before you were born again, you were taught to memorize Psalm 23, which the last verse says this, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me. I was taught before I actually knew Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, that surely goodness and mercy was following me. God was doing good. He's always been doing good. He is a good God. He is good. In Psalm 145 and verse 9 says that the Lord is good to all. Oh, by none, everyone's included. Everyone is experiencing the goodness of God. Everyone. Now, believers in Jesus Christ happen to know that they're experiencing the goodness of God. The children of Israel, when David penned Psalm 23, they knew that God was good to them. Why? He says, because I'm taking you out of Egypt and I'm taking you to a good land, a land that flows with milk and honey. God said, I'm going to be good to you. When Moses said, Lord, show me your glory, in Exodus 34, the Lord says, Moses, I'm going to cause all my goodness to pass before you. Oh, my God, he's a good God. And he's always been good, and he's never left the witness of his goodness without it being realized in the earth. He's good. So he says that he did not leave himself without witness. What was the witness? This was the witness. He did good. The scripture says he gave us rain from heaven and fruitful seasons, filling our hearts with food and gladness. And right now, today, I'm looking on this screen and I'm seeing people whom God has given rain and fruitful seasons, those whom God has filled your hearts with food and gladness. Amen? Because that's the God that we serve. So I've titled the message, He Did Good. He did good, and we should too. Amen? Hey, he did good, and we should too. Amen? All right. So let me work through this. Psalm 100 and verse 5, that's another psalm that many of us have memorized, caused to memorize when we were young. But verse 5 says, for the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures throughout all generations. Give thanks to the Lord, for the Lord is good. Amen. We give thanks to God because he is so good to us. Again, the believer understands this. The believer knows this, and that's our privilege. Listen, church, it's a privilege to be able to give thanks to God. It is a privilege to be able to praise him. It is a privilege to be able to worship him, to know him. Amen. The unbeliever partakes of the goodness of God every day and never gives thanks because they don't know that the goodness that they're receiving comes from the hand of Almighty God. The believer wakes up every morning and says, Father, I thank you for this day. I thank you for breath I'm breathing in my lungs. I thank you that I'm able to get up. I thank you for strength to go to work and to labor all day long. I thank you, oh God. I thank you, Lord, for bringing me home safely. Thank you for watching over my wife and my children. Thank you, oh God, for giving, taking care of my health. All of these things. We constantly give God thanks for his great goodness that he gives toward the children of men. That's Psalm 107. Mm-hmm. Four times in that psalm it says, "All that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness and his wonderful works toward the children of men. All that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness." For his goodness. He did not leave them, he did not leave himself without witness in that he did good. Now God does good because he is good. Amen. He does good because he is good. God help us now, because a lot of times we do good because we're something we want. Amen. God help us. There are a lot of people, they do good because there's something behind that goodness that they want. Now, God's not like that. God does good because he is good.
Correct.
He does good because he is good. Psalm 106 verse 1 says, "Praise the Lord. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good." Psalm 33 and verse 5 says, "He loves righteousness and justice." Listen to this. "The earth is full of the goodness of the Lord." The earth is full. Hey, I challenge you. I challenge you to get up every day and say that the earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. Oh my God, every day. The earth is full of your goodness, oh my God. Listen, that is a reality. That's reality, whether we acknowledge it or not. That doesn't change. The earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. God help us to be able to see and identify that goodness. So the Psalm 33 and 5 again, he loves righteousness and justice. Righteousness and justice are essential elements of his goodness. Mm-hmm. Say that again. Righteousness and justice are essential elements of his goodness. So we value righteousness and justice, and we speak up for them. We're about to get to our part now. Amen. I just have to start with God because it all starts with him. Amen.
Amen.
Psalm 107 verses 8 and 9 says, "All that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness." All that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Listen, for he satisfies the longing soul. It didn't say he satisfies the believing soul. It said he satisfies the longing soul. Come on now. And he fills the hungry soul with goodness. He fills the hungry soul with goodness. And God does this throughout the earth. God's goodness is essential to his governing the whole world. Only a good God provides for all people all of the time, even those who are in rebellion against him. And yet God does this day after day since the earth has remained. You remember the promise that he gave to Noah after he destroyed the earth, and Noah comes off the ark. He takes the clean animals, offers a sacrifice up to God. The Bible says that God smelled a sweet smelling aroma. And then God said, he said to Noah this. He said, "While the earth remains, summer and winter, seed time and harvest shall not end." In other words, God says, "I will never destroy all the life on the earth again as I did with that flood." He said, "I'll never do that again. Seed time and harvest shall never end." In other words, God promised. He said, "I'm going to take care of this earth. I'm going to, everyone on it, I'm not going to destroy that way again." And from that day to this, God's goodness has been reigning over all of his creation. And for that, we give God thanks. And for that, we give him praise. Psalm 145, verse 9, "The Lord is good to all." This is what Paul was using to witness to those idol worshipers who didn't know God. He says, listen, It's been God that's been good to you. Listen, Paul used it. Guess what? We can tell people that too. Matter of fact, when I'm in people's home talking to them about the Lord Jesus while I'm cleaning their carpet, and they're sharing their life story and so forth, and I'll see a place in their life that is obvious to me, God did it. God orchestrated it. And our point is that God caused that to happen in your life. God was the one who delivered you. God was the one who saved you from the consequences of that action. Why? Because he's good. He's good to all. His tender mercies are over all his works. God did good then, and he's doing good today. And he's doing it primarily through the body of Christ.
Amen.
The body of Christ, the church of Jesus. So just as God did good and continues to do good and is good, we are to do good because God through Christ has created us for good works. Ephesians 2:10. Listen, the good works that the good that God did all throughout and sustaining people, all of this, all of the existence of the earth, God is still doing good today. And he does much of it through the church of Jesus Christ. Matthew, Jesus said in the book of Matthew this way, you are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. You are the light of the world. A city that is set upon a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Let them see your good works and glorify your Father. In other words, our good works becomes the witness for our Father who is in heaven. How do people know that God exists? Because they see the good things that God is doing through his church, through his people.
Amen.
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 So God has not left himself without witness.
Amen.
Remember in Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, or in verse 7, they said, Lord, are you now going to restore the kingdom to Israel? And Jesus said, it's not for you to know the times and the seasons that the Father has put in his own power, but you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me. You shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the earth. In other words, they became the witnesses of God. And so as God did good and did not leave himself without witness in the Old Testament, so he does good and does not leave himself without witnesses in the New Testament, primarily through the church of Jesus. And by the good that he would accomplish through us. So Jesus said, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Doing good then is an act of the will and therefore must be chosen. Because we know God is good, but Jesus said, he said, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works. In other words, you have to give yourself to it. It just won't happen without a directed effort on our part. This reminds me of when they stormed the Capitol on January 6th. I don't know if you saw this, but there were actual people, some people who stood in the Senate chamber and prayed to God and said, Father, we thank you now for allowing us to invade the Capitol and get control of the Senate. They were calling on God the Father and saying, thank you for prospering our lawless ways. They didn't say that, but that's essentially what they were praying. But they were thanking him for allowing them to take back the nation. They thought that they were doing good, church. They thought they were doing good. But please know this, Christian nationalism is not good and it's not of God. Let me say that again. Christian nationalism is not good and it's not of God. Jesus did not condone the forceful overthrow of government because his kingdom was not of this world. Hello? Now remember, Jesus dealt with what we're dealing with. He dealt with that in his day. You remember at one point the scripture says when Jesus saw that they were about to come and by force make him king because of all the miracles, because of the crowds and all of that, there were some people who were going to forcefully take him and cause him to be made king over Israel, and Jesus walked away from it. He would have nothing to do with it. You remember Jesus had someone on as part of his inner circle, the 12, called Simon the Zealot. Simon the Zealot, as opposed to Simon Peter. Simon the Zealot, the Zealots were a political party in that day, political party in the Jewish nation, who were all for the Jews governing themselves. They hated Rome, and we get it, because Rome was occupying, Rome had dominion over Israel at the time. Well, the Zealots were the extreme section of a party that said, we will kill in order to maintain our right to govern ourselves. And Simon the Zealot was one of the people who was one of the 12 disciples of Jesus. So I said a few weeks ago that there are no pure movements. In every movement, there are extremists on the fringes. There are those who are far out on the left, on the right, as we talk about it today, God forbid. But there are always extremists. And Jesus had one as his disciple. Well, Jesus didn't condone the forceful overthrow of government because his kingdom was not of this world. God help the children of God to understand this and to submit to the lordship of Jesus as it's revealed to us in Scripture. In our current toxic, politically divided us against them environment in our nation, the disciple of Jesus Christ needs to do good. Needs to do good and not evil. Needs to do good. Listen, he did good, so should we. He did not leave himself without witness in that he did good. And part of the witness of Jesus Christ in the earth today is God's people doing good works. Doing good works. So why, you know, God did good because he is good. We should do good because God is good and God dwells in us. Amen?
Amen.
Jesus said it this way in Matthew chapter 12 and verse 33. Either make the tree good and its fruit good, or else make the tree bad and its fruit bad. Right. For a tree is known by its fruit. Mm-hmm. You brood of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? And this is very important what Jesus is saying, because we've had to deal with some things in the nation, but we've also had to deal with things in the church, with people saying, well, it doesn't matter what a person says, it only matters how they live. Mm-hmm. According to Jesus, you have it backwards, okay? Mm-hmm. Because Jesus said, how can you, being evil, speak good things? In other words, he said this, for out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And we realize that before God did, he spoke.
Right.
The Bible says God said, let there be light, and then he did it. God said, let the earth bring forth the living creature, then he did it. God spoke it. Why? Because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And words matter, church. Words are important. And so part of the good that we are to do includes the words that come out of our mouths. Amen? Amen. Someone please tell me where you heard Jesus talking about murdering someone.
Well,
you can't, because it never happened. Right. Jesus, his words were always consistent with his person. His words were always consistent with the life that he was. Amen? Yet, the religious leaders of the day, after Jesus would rebuke them in a sermon, they would go, how many times did you read that the scripture says that they plotted how they might kill him? How they might murder him. Well, not during the feast, lest there be an uproar, but that time and time again, they plotted how they were going to murder Jesus, even in his own city, even when he went back to Nazareth, when he stood up in the temple to read the scripture, and he said, this day the scripture is fulfilled in your ears. The Bible says they led him to a cliff. They were going to throw Jesus off the cliff because He claimed to be the one who was anointed to preach the gospel to the poor. And he was. But they were seeking to murder him. So Jesus said, for out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. In other words, the mouth follows and reveals the heart. So when someone says something, you know what is in their heart. And when they say something, you ought to believe them. Amen. Verse 35 of Matthew 12, he goes on and says this, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good things. And an evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth evil things. But I say to you that every idle word men may speak, they will give account of it in the day of judgment.
Right.
God help us.
Amen.
For by your words, you will be justified. And by your words, you will be condemned.
Condemned.
Words matter. Yes. Words are important. They matter. And we, because you, sometimes we lose the value of them because, mm-hmm. in a way, we'll think this, that words are actually free. That words are free to use. Like, it's not going to cost me anything. Jesus said, no, every idle word that you speak, every useless word, come on, every word that had no point is going to be judged. You're going to have to give an account for it. So I want to consider some of the ways that the scripture says, Jesus says, what does it look like for us to do good? What does it look like for us to do good? I want to consider it in one of its most aggressive forms. Matthew chapter 5, verse 43. Make sure I got that right. Yeah. Matthew 5:43, Jesus said this, you have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. Okay. Now, Leviticus 19 and 18 says this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Okay. We're used to that. But Jesus said, you have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. Where did the hate your enemy part come from? Because that's not the Old Testament. God never said that. God said, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Well, where it came from was the rabbis through the years, as they would teach the scripture, they made this calculation. If you're to love your neighbor as yourself, well, obviously, then you're to hate your enemy. Amen. Yeah. Because if you're to love your neighbor, your Jewish brother, if you're to love the one who loves you, then you're to hate your enemy. So they added to the word of God. And Jesus was saying, listen, you've heard it said. This has been said. You're to love your neighbor and to hate your enemy. But I say to you, and you want something to work on for the rest of this year or the rest of your life? We will be working on it for the rest of our lives. He says, but I say to you, love your enemies. Does anybody have enemies? You don't have to answer. Amen.
Amen.
He says, love your enemies. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Listen. He said to bless those who curse you. That word bless means to speak well of. Mm-hmm. Listen, we just had at the top of our nation a man who, when he disagreed with anybody, would call them names, would mm-hmm. shout them down, would say every type mm-hmm. of horrible thing about people. And when you're the top of the nation, it matters, church. Why am I saying that? Because it matters. It would be no different if I, as the pastor of the church, stood before you right now and someone that I had a problem with, I began to rebuke them. I began to say to you, you know that brother so-and-so? Hey, he's a hard-head rascal. He doesn't listen to anything that I said. I really don't like him. I mean, how would it go, church, if I started to do that as the pastor of the church? How would it go? Wouldn't go too well, church. Listen, it mattered. When did you hear Jesus standing up talking about his enemies, speaking curses over them?
No.
You didn't see it. It never happened. Why? Because Jesus lived. What Jesus said is who he was. He literally loved his enemies. You say, where is an example? When Jesus was hanging on the cross, the Bible said people hurled insults at him. The Sanhedrin were over here saying, you said you are the Christ. If you're the Christ, come down from the cross right now. While all of that was going on, while they beat him, they tortured him, put the crown on, pierced his hands and his feet. Jesus is hanging on the cross. All of his enemies are walking around taunting him. And this is what he said. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Jesus blessed his enemies. He blessed them. My goodness. He did not curse them. And so Jesus says to us, but I say to you, love your enemies. Bless those who curse you. Bless means to speak well of, to confer good fortune upon. That's Luke 23 and 34. And then he goes on and he says, don't stop there. Do good to those who hate you. Anybody ever have anybody hate you? Bible says that you and I are to do good to those who hate us. As the opportunity presents itself, do good to those who hate us. And believe me, my goodness, when I think back, all the opportunities, all the times, the number of people that hated me for whatever reason. Mm-hmm. Where do we see it in the life of Jesus? Well, they come into the garden to arrest him. They got all the soldiers and everything. Peter cuts off the servants of the high priest's ear. And what does Jesus do? Did he do good to him? He said, permit even this. In Luke 22, 51, he picked up the ear off the ground and put it back on the man and healed his ear. The one who came to do him wrong, the one who came, who hated him, Jesus did good to him. Jesus did good to him. Where is that in our nation today? Where is that in our world today? Where is that in our politics, where Christians are involved in politics? If I hear one more Christian say, we are for revolution and we'll kill people to get it, I don't know what I'm going to do. I said, Lord Jesus,
go pray for him.
God, I am not looking at your church. I am not looking at your church. God, Father, what is this? What is this? This is not Christ. This is not Christ. No, no. You're worshiping something else, but you're not worshiping the Christ. The one who is in him was life, and the life was the light of men. And then he said, I did not come into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through me might be saved. He said, I didn't come to destroy life. Hey, he said, no. No, the devil came to do it, to kill, steal, and destroy. I have come that you might have life. Christians are to be givers of life, not wanting to take people's life because they don't get what they want politically or they don't get what they want any other way. No. Come on now. So he didn't stop there. He says, and pray for those who spitefully use you.
Yeah.
Now, this one, hey. Well, they're all difficult. I believe that middle one is hardest of all. Mm-hmm. But we can all pray for somebody, right? Hello.
Amen.
He said, pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. Mm-hmm. Amen. Where do we see that in Scripture? Well, remember the deacon Stephen, who after he had given a sermon to the Sanhedrin and rebuked them, the Bible says they gnashed upon him with their teeth. They closed their ears because they didn't want to hear what he was saying. They drug him out of the city and they stoned him with stones. And this is what Stephen said as his spirit was departing his body. He said, Father, lay not this sin to their charge. My God, my God. Mm-hmm. Lay not this sin to their charge. While the stones are hitting him in his head, in his body, he's crying out for the people persecuting him. He's praying for those who were doing him wrong and said, Father, lay not this sin to their charge. Most of the time, we agree with David, who said, get them, Lord, snatch their teeth out. God don't let this, don't let them get away with this. And we, more, most of the time, we identify with that. But Stephen, not so. He prayed for those. And why? Well, God is good to the evil as well as the good. You know, that's what the prophet Jonah's problem was with God. You remember, he didn't want to go preach at Nineveh because he said, no, those people are wicked. They've persecuted us. They killed us. I ain't going. And when he finally goes and God has mercy on the Ninevites, and Jonah says, see, God, I told you that's why I didn't want to go. Because look at what you did. Jonah was waiting for fire to come down from heaven and burn up the city. God says, no. Why? God is good to the evil and to the good. So that person that curses us, abuses us, mistreats us, takes advantage of, even kills us, he's good to that person, and he's good to the evil and to the good, those who do right by you. So in verse 45, Jesus goes on and he says that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. For he makes, listen to this, for he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good. He sends rain. He sends rain on the just and the unjust. Mm-hmm. Notice that coincides with Acts 14 and 17. It says, he did not leave himself without witness in that he did good, gave us rain from heaven and fruitful seasons. So we notice how God gave them exactly what they needed for fruitful seasons. Sun and rain. Sun and rain. He gave them what they needed for fruitful seasons. That which is produced, however, depends upon us. So we remember the fig tree in Luke chapter 13, where a man planted a fig tree in his vineyard, and he came upon it 2 or 3 years later. He said to the husbandman, he says, tear this tree down. It's not producing. I come looking for fruit. It has no fruit on it. And the husbandman said, the caretaker said, well, let me dig around it and everything and see if I can fertilize it and all. If it doesn't produce any fruit, okay, then remove it. Everything that tree needed was provided. Rain, sun, digging around it, and so forth. But if it didn't produce, God was going to judge it. The same here. God gives rain and sun. He causes the sun to fall on the evil and the good, the rain to fall upon the just and the unjust. And then he goes on and says this, for if you love those who love you, what reward have you? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? Mm-hmm. And if you greet your brethren only, what do you more than others? Do not even the tax collectors do so? Therefore you shall be perfect just as your Father in heaven is perfect. So being like our Heavenly Father requires that we do good to those who are not like us or to those who even oppose us, just like he did it. So if we want to be complete and perfect and mature as our Heavenly Father is, then we need to do to those who oppose us, even as he has done. And God shows us this in the scripture. We're benefactors of it, but then we must also be those who extend it. Romans 5:8 says this, God demonstrates his love toward us in that while we were still sinners. Further down, it says, while we were still enemies, Christ died for us. While we were still opposed to God. So for those people who are opposed to us, those who reject us, Jesus says, no, pray for them, do good to them, bless them. That's the good that he wants us to do. He did good, so should we. Acts 9:36 is the reference to Dorcas, the woman who died. It says, at Joppa, there was a certain disciple named Tabitha, which is translated Dorcas. This woman was full of good works and charitable deeds, which she did. Good works. God did good, she was doing good. God did good, she was doing good. Paul said to Timothy to remind the people that they be zealous for good works. Maintain good works. In other words, doing good. Doing good. And in this season of our lives, it just has so much more impetus because there's so many people doing evil in our nation and calling themselves Christians. calling themselves Christians. There's a woman in the House of Representatives who calls herself a Christian, who has advocated for the killing, literally the killing, of people of the opposite party. And she's a representative in our U.S. Congress right now. And she has said, yeah, we should put a bullet in that person's head. And she, yet it's said about her, she was baptized in the church in 2011. Hello. Something's wrong, church. Something's wrong. These things ought not to be so, as Paul said. Hey, or as James said, out of the same fountain come sweet water and bitter. He said, these things ought not to be so. Hello. And so Dorcas, Tabitha, was full of good works. Full of good works. She made undershirts, coats, and garments, and blessed widows in the church with them, blessed people outside of the church. Those were the good works she did. My question comes to me as I was studying this, what good work is at my doorstep? What good deed is before us? What good thing can we put ourselves to? What good works? And I thought about Daniel when I was thinking about this, our brother who teaches, how he puts together this video, a video that encourages his students, encourages the families, and it goes out and people are changed. People are blessed by this thing. It's not something that he has to do. It's something that he found himself wanting to do. And it's that which is ministers goodness to the people that he's helping. What good thing, what good works can you and I give ourselves to that would be a blessing to other people? Acts 10:38, speaking of Jesus, says how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good. He went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. I thought, well, you know, Jesus Christ was anointed with the Holy Spirit and with power. But guess what? You and I are anointed with the Holy Spirit and with power. Come on now. Jesus went about doing good. What good can I do, oh God? What good can I do in my neighborhood? What good can I do in the marketplace? What good works, oh my God? I've been asking myself that. I've been in prayer about this. Asking myself, what good can I give myself to be a blessing instead of a curse? Because we were called to be a blessing. Amen. The blessing of Abraham has come upon the Gentiles. Remember that? Remember the blessing of Abraham? God says, Abraham, in blessing you, I'm going to bless all the nations of the earth. Amen. And so we're blessed to be a blessing. Acts 11:24, speaking of Barnabas, said this, for he was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and of faith, and a great many people were added to the Lord. For he was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and of faith. I'm constantly here. We know we get being full of faith. We get of being full of the Holy Ghost. Now, those are gifts. But how many times is it heard that a believer is a good person? There are a whole lot of they're pastors and preachers and teachers full of faith and full of the Holy Ghost. They're also falling into sin. We fall into sin all the time. When I say we, I'm talking about pastors. Fall into sin. Why? Because that good part of us, the fruit of the Spirit of goodness, has not been cultivated in our lives. I get the Holy Spirit. I get the gift of faith. But the scripture says Barnabas was a good man. Mm. Was a good man. And we need to cultivate that goodness as well as what it means to be full of the Holy Spirit. Listen, I'm glad you can prophesy. I'm glad you have words of knowledge, you know, but goodness is needed too. Amen. Goodness. God help us to be good. Help us to be good, to cultivate that fruit of goodness. Romans 12:2, you know what the scripture says. Paul said in Romans 12:1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, so forth and so on. Verse 2, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good will of God. that acceptable, that perfect will of God, that will of God that is good. God has good for us to accomplish. He wills it, and we're to accomplish it.
Amen.
The good works. God has good works. Ephesians 2:10 says that he preordained. He has already prepared them. Mm-hmm. But this is the way I'm looking at it. God has prepared good works for you and I to walk in. They're only there for us now to simply get involved and to do them. What good works? Amen. That's the question. What good works? What am I to give myself to? Amen. Romans 12:9, Paul said this, let love be without hypocrisy. Mm-hmm. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. Mm-hmm. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. So based upon that, I abhor abortion. Amen. As I know you do. Terminating children's lives in the womb is not good. So I lament the fact that the Biden administration's funding to groups that perform and inform about abortion, that the funding has been restored. I lament that because it's not good. But on the other hand, the Bible says this is good, that we continue to pray for the president and his administration, because 1 Timothy 2:3 says this, for this is good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior. Hello. Hello. It's good and acceptable for us to pray for our president. You say, but he just restored funding for abortion and I can't pray. Hello. Come on, church. Come on. The Bible says it is good for us. It is good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior, for us to pray for those who are in authority, kings and all those who are in authority, to pray for all men, that we may live a quiet, peaceable life in all godliness and holiness.
Right.
So we need to do the good, and yet I hear Christians today getting on sides of politics, going, I'm not praying for anybody. They're baby killers, they're this, that, and the other thing. And I'm saying, you...
Right.
Abhor what is evil, cling to what is good. I abhor the killing of people of color by the police. If I abhor the killing of unborn children, I abhor the killing of people by police. I abhor the lust for money seen in the opioid crisis by the Purdue Pharma and the Sackler family, where hundreds of thousands of people died because of opioid abuse. I abhor the slaughters of Yemenis in the war with Saudi Arabia, and the government is selling weapons to Saudi Arabia, and they're killing people over in Yemen like drinking water. But people who are against abortion, not yelling about that, not making a big stink about that. But guess what? It matters to God. Paul said, abhor what is evil, cling to what is good. The problem that we have is that we pick and choose what good we're going to cling to.
Right.
We pick and choose what good we're going to cling to. No, if God said abhor it, is evil, we abhor it. If God said it's good, we cling to what is good. So we need help, church. We Amen. Need help.
Amen.
Romans 12:17. This scripture right here could save our whole nation if we would give ourselves to it. Now, current political, just the heated political time that we're in. Romans 12:17 says, repay no one evil for evil.
My God.
Repay Amen. No one evil for evil. Listen,
Amen.
If that scripture were adhered to, January 6th would have never happened. Would have never happened. Even if you thought people stole the election from you, even if you thought it, the scripture says, repay no one evil for evil. The scripture says, vengeance is mine. I will repay. Listen, church, let me tell you what we're called to. We are called to let God repay for all the evil done to us. Oh, my God.
Amen. Amen.
Oh, Lord Jesus, I'm preaching to myself now. I'm getting happy and stirred up. Come on now. Look here. Amen. Any evil, any badness, any wickedness anyone does to you, God says, let me repay. Don't you lift a finger. Woo! Hallelujah. You don't get anything else out of this sermon. Get that.
Amen.
Get that. Oh, my God. because you leave yourself in God's hand. That's what Jesus said. Unto thee, O Lord, I commit my spirit. Jesus gave himself up to his Father. Come on, you and I are not supposed to fight for ourselves. We're supposed to give ourselves up to the Father. That's why they said, when Jesus said, are you now going to restore the kingdom? Are you now going to put Israel back in charge? Jesus said, don't stop that. No, forget that. No, don't worry about that. That's not why I'm here. My kingdom is not of this world. If it were, then my servants would fight. But my kingdom is not from this world. And so we shouldn't find Christians running around fighting and trying to kill people and all this business. Get your guns, get your ammunition. And yet I've seen pastors of churches. One man from Texas said, if Donald Trump's not reelected, there will be civil war in this nation. I said, sir, why would you say something like that? Why would you let that out of your mouth? You're a pastor of a megachurch. You don't think that those words are going to have an effect on people? No. You're a pastor. You're a pastor. Don't do that. Repay no one evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. Have regard for good things. God help us. God help us. 1 Thessalonians 5:15, see that no one renders evil for evil to anyone. Paul told it. He told it to the believers in Rome. He told it to the believers in Thessalonica. See that no one renders evil for evil to anyone. Mm-hmm. But always pursue what is good, both for yourselves and for all. Well, you know what's good is that when you curse me, I don't say before the world, I'm going to come and kill you. You know what's good is when you do me wrong, I don't get all my people together and say, guess what? We're coming over to your house and we're going to show you what we think about what you did. That's not good for everybody. That's not good. And so for us as Christians, let us remember that God did good, so must we do good. If we are going to be disciples of Christ. Romans 12:21, Paul said, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Good.
Amen.
Christians, we need to do good today. We need to do good. We need to, and by our doing good, it would have an effect upon people around us. So that we would not give ourselves to retribution. We would not give ourselves to taking vengeance in our own hands.
Amen. Amen.
So I've been praying about, I was praying about the good that I could do in my neighborhood. And let me share just a brief story. You know your house. There are things about your house that's unique. If you've been there a long time. One of the things that is unique about our house, and not in a good way, is the way it's situated and the way the wind blows. And so the way the wind blows, every leaf that falls off a tree finds its way into our driveway. And so I dread the fall. When the fall comes and the leaves start to fall and the wind starts to blow, there's an oak tree. It's not in my yard, put it that way. But all the leaves, it's in the common area. All the leaves from the tree blow into our driveway. Okay. That's number one. So we have to get up all those leaves. And I don't get up leaves. I don't know if you get up leaves one time a year. I don't get up leaves one time a year. I don't get up leaves two times a year. I don't get up leaves three times a year. Look, are you listening to me? Listen, I just got up leaves a couple of weeks ago, and I walked outside yesterday, and here are all these leaves in the driveway again, and I looked at the leaves, and my head dropped. But it doesn't stop with the leaves, because on trash day, if the wind is blowing, and even most of it's sometimes when it's not blowing, but when it's blowing, where the leaves found themselves, trash. It's like we're the neighborhood vacuum cleaner. If there's any trash out there, it blows right into our driveway, up against the door, trash everywhere. And so I'm praying, I said, Lord, you know, I wanna do something to you know, be a witness to the neighborhood, be a blessing. And so one day I got a camera right here. I got a camera when I see people deliver things at my door. I got a camera set up, and I'm sitting here, and I see all this trash blowing to the driveway, and I got mad. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. I got upset. I'm a little bit looking at it. I'm like, and I walk out there, and I ain't feeling good. And I'm like, and I'm thinking to myself, Lord, all this trash be blowing up in my driveway. And the Holy Ghost said, you know, see, God can fix it. One word to you, well, God can fix all your problems.
Amen.
You know why? Because with every word that God speaks to you comes the grace and the power to do what he says.
Amen.
I don't know if that blessed you, but I just, hey, la bullshit. That thing, the Holy Ghost said, this is what he said. And I'm out there fuming. And he said, pick up the trash.
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah. When he said it, it calmed everything in me. I just got out of the trash bag, went outside. I filled up a trash bag. And I don't have little trash bag. I got business for my business. I got big trash. I filled up the whole trash bag. The dude who bought a TV 3, 4, 5 doors up the street, his thing blew all the way down the thing. Into whose driveway? My driveway. And so I got up the trash. And so as I'm praying, it became, I'm praying about what I just said. Well, here's a start, son. When the trash blow in your driveway, don't get mad and stop complaining. Because that ain't going to get the trash up.
Right.
And the trashman ain't going to get the trash up.
Nope.
And no one else is going to get the trash up. So you want to be a blessing to your neighborhood? You want to be a witness? You want to do good? Get out there and pick up the trash. And so now, I'm over it. Now when the trash comes, I was picking up some yesterday. I just go outside, pick up the trash. God give me grace to do that. I'm still praying about what I can do in this neighborhood. I'm believing God for more to come. I'd like to hear from you. What good God puts in your heart to do in your neighborhood. It could be walking the neighborhood and prayer walking. I believe I pulled up at Moses' house one day, and I saw Moses walking up. He was going on up here. I don't know where he was going, but he was walking somewhere. He may have been praying. I don't know. But I love to walk, and I walk through the neighborhood. Of course, I pray for people. I pray for the neighborhood. God save us, because we need you so much. But there's some good thing. There's some good thing that we can put our hands on that God would bless us because of. And don't worry about what it's going to cost you. Finances, courage, strength, resolve, time. Because there's a promise in 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 8. Where Paul said this, and God is able to make all grace abound toward you.
Yes.
That you always having all sufficiency in all things may have an abundance for what? For every good work.
Amen. Amen.
God says everything you need. You say, well, that's in the talking about in the context of money, because Paul was talking about giving money. Yeah, it was in the context of money, but Paul didn't say money. He said God is able to make all of grace abound toward you, that you always having all sufficiency in all things. Amen. So it doesn't matter if you need grace. Doesn't matter if you need courage or strength or resolve or the time to do good. God says, I'm going to give you everything you need to do the good. The question then becomes to us, what good, oh God, would you have me to do?
Amen.
What good, oh God, would you have me to do?
Mm-hmm.
I remind you of that story when I was in when I had to speak up for the black graphics or the people of color. There was no graphics, and the Holy Ghost said, in that meeting I was in, and I was the only black dude in there, and the Holy Ghost said, are you going to say something?
Mm-hmm.
I love the Holy Ghost because they say, what did I heard one man say, leaders aren't born, they're cornered. Hey, he said, no. Yeah. Leaders aren't born. God put you, he put you in a corner, and you gotta stand up. Amen. And so the Holy Ghost said, are you going to say something? I said, yeah, I'm about ready. And I said something. Amen. And because something was said, not just by me, I'm sure many other people said something, change was realized. Well, I was reading an article yesterday, and they mentioned this this young kid who played for the football team, the Mississippi State football team. His name was Kylan Hill. And it said that he was one who put himself out there in June 2020, declaring in a 98-character tweet that he wouldn't play another game for Mississippi State unless his home state changed his flag. This one running back who was playing for the state of Mississippi football team said, and he's good. He's really good. He says, I'm not playing another game. He didn't say not until Mississippi State changes its flag or the school. He said the state. This boy went for the state. He said, I'm about to do good. I'm about to rip some good for somebody here in a second. And he didn't. But he had a price to pay. It says he was the one who said, who had to see those hate-filled replies on social media, who had to fear for his mother and grandmother when their racist backlash spilled into their homes from Columbus, Mississippi. He was the one who risked his college football career and maybe his NFL draft prospects by taking a stand. He paid a price. Mm-hmm. He may have to pay a price, but he stood up for something good.
Amen.
He raised his voice for something good, and I believe that good's going to come out of what he did. But the article went on to say that now he set his sight on the NFL. So Mississippi Amen. State wasn't enough. The school or the state of Mississippi, he's going to try and transform the NFL. We saw what the NFL has done to Colin Kaepernick, so pray that young man Godspeed with what he's trying to do to bring change. So the question is, what good work will we give ourselves to? What good work will we give ourselves to? Galatians 4:18, Paul said this, but it is good to be zealous in a good thing always. It is good to be zealous in a good thing always. That word zealous means to have warmth of feeling for or against. You know, to get all up in your feelings about. Amen. To be hot-headed about. You have something good that you feel very strongly about? Do you have something? I remember telling you about Simon the Zealot. He was hot. He was very hot-headed about the Jews determining their own political future and ruling themselves. He was very hot about it. He was even willing to fight for it. Well, what we need to be fighting for is something good. Paul said it's good to be zealous in a good thing. God help us to fight for something good and not for things that bring no profit. So what good thing are we on fire about? Galatians 6 and verse 9 says, and let us not grow weary while doing good. Let us not grow weary while doing good. I read that and thought about my wife. Honey, if I don't know if you're still here, but I thought about my wife down there taking care of her mother. I pray every day that she doesn't get weary, that God continue to give her strength, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart.
Amen.
Don't lose heart, church. Whatever God has given you to do, you know he's called you to do it. You know it's good. Don't give up. Don't lose heart. Don't get tired. Don't do season. There's a reaping at hand. There's a reaping coming.
Amen.
There's a return coming. Amen. And we knew not to lose heart. Paul said the same thing in 2 Thessalonians 3:13. But as for you, brethren, do not grow weary in doing good. And so Ephesians 2:10, again, Paul says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. Listen, for good works. We were created for good works. Amen. That's why the Christian should be given to doing good. We ought to be given to doing good and not fomenting evil. We ought to be given to doing good, not threatening other people's lives or stocking up guns and ammunition because there's going to be a civil war, a black and white war, or all of these. I mean, my God, what is that? That is demonic. James said this wisdom is not from above, but is earthly, sensual, and devilish. That wisdom is earthly, sensual, and devilish. Let me close with this. The good works that we are to give ourselves to already exist.
Amen.
They've been prepared, preordained by God. We must simply identify them and give ourselves to them for which we were made. Amen?
Amen.
Let's pray.
Amen.
Father, we thank you for the good works that you prepared us for. We thank you that you have preordained them. That, Lord, as you did good to those, Lord, by not leaving yourself without witness, so we, O God, are to do good and follow in your footsteps. And Father, I thank you that those preordained works that we are to give ourselves to, Father, that we were made for them, we are fitted for them, and Lord, you, Lord, for a burden to be placed upon our heart for us to give ourselves to them as you, Lord, as we see them, Father, as we have a passion for them.
Yes.
Lord, that as you work good things, so we would work good things and be a witness in the earth today of your goodness through us.
Yes.
Now may the God of peace,
yes,
who brought up our Lord Jesus from the dead, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you complete in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. And all God's people said,
amen.
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 Amen. So that concludes our word for today. Our prayer is for us that God would continually endow us and give us all that we need to live a good life and to proclaim the good gospel of Jesus Christ, the good news as we do so. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Anything we need to hear before we close? Anyone?
Yes, that was a good word.
Thank you, sister.
That was a good word.